trying to figure out what I would bring to you, something that I teach the kids. And I thought, well, this is missions, so I thought I'd bring something that would coincide with the program this week. And I try to teach my kids, the kids, that's not my kids, you know, the kids that I teach, you know, I try to teach them about missions too, because they don't know what it is. And I believe that God calls little children to the mission field. And we have, through the Bible, we have had that God has called, prepared Moses, you know, by keeping him safe in a little basket. And Samuel and even David was a young boy. So I like to teach the kids so they can start preparing themselves to listen to God's word and read. And that way they themselves can be ready to when God says, I want you to do this special work. So first of all, I wanted to thank everybody. I'm still a little bit nervous. I was talking to Ernie, a friend of mine that's visiting with us. He's from the Church of God and in the Mexican side of town, in the west side. I think it's a good ministry because there's a lot of Catholics over there, and it's a good church over there. And I was telling him that yesterday that I'm still not quite at ease when I speak with adults. I like to speak with children, and I enjoy that, but with adults, I'm sort of nervous, so you have to forgive me for that. But listen, there are a lot of questions that people are really asking themselves around the world. Why is it that all my life I've never heard of Jesus? So how long has it been since he died and rose again for sinful people like me? Why have you not run everywhere with this book, the Bible? What is it? I've not heard of this book. You know, these are real questions that I had been asked when I was in Brazil. And actually, there are people that ask these questions. What about the people in Peru, in South America? This is not flannel. I mean, they're not self-adhesive in the back, because we have to use the back part of it, so I'm going to tack it with thumbtacks. What about the people in Peru and India and Africa and China? There are so many people around the world that even this country, that don't know about Jesus, that don't know who he is and why he died on the cross for their sins. And I think that, you know, that we ought to ask ourselves, does it matter? You know, does it matter that they go to hell? What are we going to do about it? You know, what does God want us to do? You know, they have to know that some of these people don't know that sin really separates people from God. Mm-hmm. And God doesn't want that. He wants them to be with him. He wants them to know about Jesus and go to heaven with him. Now, why is it so important to tell them about the Son? Why is it so important that they know about Jesus? The Bible in Ezekiel is Ezekiel 18. We'll find some verses where God tells us what happened to these people. Sin separates them. Sin separates these people from God. In 18:4 he says, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. In John 8:24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he shall die in your sins. These people are dying. They are being separated from God. Romans 6:23, for God, you know, the wages of sin is death. And we know that these people are going to go to hell. They're going for everlasting punishment. Well, is this the way God wants it? I mean, you know, there are a lot of people that are dying. And I don't know that we can really realize that there are people out of the United States and even United States that don't know that they are going to go to hell when they die. And we don't know that there are people, we think, oh, I mean, they're in America, you know, they should know, you know, this is the 20th century, you know, they should know. But you know that, they don't know. And it's up to us to do it. I don't think that God wants it that way. I think God wants for us to go and tell them about Jesus. There's a wonderful plan. Oops, I think I just messed that one up. He wanted us to know about Jesus and why he died on the cross for us. In John 3:16, he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Whosoever means everyone, anyone. He wants them to know about the Lord Jesus. We know you and I can never make these people believe. We cannot make all of them believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can go and tell them about the Lord Jesus. We can go tell them that there was one that took the punishment for them. In Romans 10:14 says, "How shall they believe in whom they have not heard?" So we need to go tell them, you know. He doesn't want anyone to be missing from his home in heaven. He wants all of us to be part of the family. One of these days we're going to die and we're going to go to heaven. We have a beautiful home waiting for us. And he wants that for those people that do not know about Jesus. And this is why he gave us the Bible. It tells us there that it tells about God's wonderful plan about salvation. You know, there are some people do not have the Bible in all of these countries that we go to. They do not have the Bible, or they don't in their language, and they cannot read. Some of them they cannot read. Many people cannot have places to go to hear about it. But we have a mission. You know, God gave us a mission in Mark 16:15, I believe. Not sure. It says, "Go ye into the world." "Go ye all into all the world and preach." I can't. What is that verse? 16:15. Thank you. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We have a mission. We have God is telling us to tell us about the Lord. He doesn't want them to die in sin. So he's giving you a mission. What is a mission? It's an assignment. It's a thing. It's calling to go and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. People have said, "Well, I'll just go ahead and wait until God calls me, you know, and I'm ready to go, but I'll wait until God calls me." And I keep reading that verse and other verses in the Bible, and it doesn't say for you to go ahead and stop and pray about it to see whether God wants you to go. He says, go. And this assignment is to you that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you already are saved, then you have a mission. It's not whether, well, if God wants me, I'll go. He wants you to do it now. So he says for you to go. Go and tell these people about the Lord. There are a lot of people that are lost. You probably keep wondering why I can't go. It's impossible to go tell all these people about the Lord Jesus. There are millions of people in the country, in the world. He says, "Well, how am I going to tell them?" And I understand that there's about a billion people in China alone. And they haven't had the gospel since 1949. And they don't even know what the Bible is. You know, we have a mission to do, but a lot of us don't go because, oh, it's impossible. We can't tell everybody about the Lord. Somebody else will do it. I have some friends of mine that told me, well, he says, "Why don't you just go ahead and go by down the border, somebody closer over here, you know, you don't have to go that far." Eventually, that's going to get done. Somebody's going to do it. Somebody's going to tell them about the Lord Jesus. Well, somebody could be me, you know. I'm waiting on somebody and nobody shows up, you know. So we need to go and tell them about the Lord. And don't worry about
Well, how is it gonna be done? God knows how big this problem is. He knows that this mission is impossible. He knows that, because He made the world, and He knows,
right,
you know, all the people in it, and they're different, and they don't have the language. But, there's a lot of, Bibles now that they've come up with, different names, but in some, I think it's Wycliffe, that is still, in some areas, I know it's not in Brazil anymore. They were kicked out because of some, problems. I think there were some explorers over there that were using the name of Wycliffe, and because of these were explorers trying to get the gold from the Amazons, and this is one of the reasons why they were not renewed the contract, so they can go back there to get the Bible into some tribe's name. So they're being kicked out. But God knows that this mission is impossible. But the most important thing, and I want you to turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28:18, and all the way to 20. I'll go ahead and read it. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whosoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world." All power has been given to Jesus Christ. And because He has given us, He has that power. He commanded us to go, and He is with us in that power that He gives us by the Holy Spirit. And this is a tremendous thing, because He's not going to leave you alone. He's going to be with you. If you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have a command already in Mark 16. Go ye into all the world and teach to everyone. He has a plan for these people, to all of them, to know about Him. And He has given us the mission to go. And He has given you the power to do by His Holy Spirit. Now, I wanted to show you a little bit of what I do. I normally teach the kids with visual work. And I challenge the young people tonight, this morning, and you too, that this is not only for, like, for instance, for the kids, when I teach the kids, you know, it's not only for kids, it's for everyone, you know, or not only for adults, it's for the kids too, you know, to prepare, their hearts and to listen to God for this command, you know, like, you already know that this is it. Okay, you're still little, you keep reading your word, you keep praying, and when you get to the age that he might even touch you now. Some kids have said, "I want to be a missionary." I know I was 15 when I felt the calling to go to the mission field. I just had a burden to go. Now, I was sharing with one Wednesday night here with the people, and I said, "I don't know. A lot of people keep telling me, you know, don't go. Somebody else will do it. You know, your kids here and you're alone and all this kind of stuff." There's so many things that I hear from people all over telling me not to go. But I told the people here, one day I felt a burden that there were people outside the United States. They were not being told about the Lord. I felt a burden, and therefore I went. Now, if I'm supposed to wait for a feeling, or if I'm supposed to wait for something else, I don't know. All I know is that I have a burden. There are kids that are being neglected in Brazil. And not only kids, there's a lot of people. There's the old people that they don't have any income whatsoever. So there's a good ministry for the age. There is the winos, the people that are alcoholics that are in the streets. That's a full ministry right there. And they don't have any such thing as rescue missions. If they do, it could be in the bigger cities. I don't know. But even in the bigger cities, I have seen a great vast of these people in the streets everywhere. And of course there's the children that the parents cannot support them at the age of 9 or 10. I says, you just, Sevita, that's the word that they use. You just make it the way you can, because I can't feed you. So I come across with a lot of kids like this, and, I can't do it alone. And I challenge you that, to think about the young lives that are also dying every day. and they don't have Christ. And I think it's good that we also try to see in that aspect of the mission field. The adults, the Indians, and not forgetting the kids. I really can't add anything else that I haven't already shared with you about the work in Brazil. We're planning to go back in by the first part of July. And the kids will start school on the 31st. They're anxious to get back started. And they're anxious to go back. And so am I. And I pray that God will supply our needs and pray that He would supply our trip, you know, to Brazil. So I'm excited about that. I want to take this opportunity to share this with you. I normally kind of go down a little bit lower in levels when I teach my kids. And with you, I try to be sort of intellectual. That doesn't work. But I thank you very much. If there's any question.
Tell them about your ministry right now. Someone.
Thank you. I forgot about that. We have Rossi and I. This is a real good story, though. I went to the field in 77. Let me go back a little bit. I am so glad about tonight because this is the first time that this is the fourth year that we are together with all the missionaries that started, you know, from this little church. And for the first time, we're all here, Billy and Sandy. And Ross is not here this morning, but everybody that's in the field, you know, it's here today. And this is really exciting because I was gone so far and I couldn't be with you every year. So this is exciting. But when Ross and I were studying here before we left, she said, oh, it'd be great. She said, we could work together one of these days. And I said, yeah, that'd be great too. And, of course, the Lord sent me to Brazil and she went to Mexico. And even on our letters, she keeps saying, oh, it would be nice if you and I could work together. And it is just terrific because, I'm back on the field and she's back home and we decided to work together. You know, the Lord has brought us together and we have a good news home. I mean, a good news club. This is what they call good news clubs is because we are teaching the material that CEF teaches, the, Christian, was it Child
Fellowship?
Yeah, Fellowship, you know. Yeah, I'm just used to CEF all the time. So they use visual aids to help teach the kids. It's easy for them to understand and to grasp, and it's easier to teach also. And so today, since I've been here, we have been teaching over there at the San Juan Homes. We have had a total of 17 kids, but not all at one time, you know, I'm sorry to say, but we have had all these kids, and this is really they are registered, and it's really exciting. I want you all to pray for that. We only have one club right now, and it would be nice to have several other clubs during the week. We can do at least one a day, or maybe twice a day for the whole week. You know, it depends on how your schedule is. You know, but we only have that one for right now. So I want you to pray for that because there are a lot of kids that over there that don't know Christ. They don't want to come. There's so many things that Satan offers these kids to keep them from coming. And television is one that's keeping them from coming. Parents, I don't understand, but parents keep the kids from coming. They might think that this is voodoo. This is, you can't come and hear that, you know. And that's wrong because they themselves don't know that about the love of Christ. They're afraid. When you don't know something, they're afraid of what they don't know. And it's a good ministry. We're thinking about visiting the ladies so they get to know us. And that would mean stopping the club for a while so we can have that time together. As Rossi is already close to having her baby, so that would be impossible, I would assume, right now. But we were thinking about meeting the people and get them to know who we are so that they know, you know, that this is nothing to be afraid of. And then coming.
Why don't you tell us something about your first year in Brazil? Who did you work with and how did it work out and what all it did?
Okay. When I first got into Brazil, well, Brother Rice, John Rice and Yolanda, I think he was the only one here that in 76, and he told us about the work in Brazil. So I went back with him and worked with him that first year. About the first year and a half. And I went ahead and studied the Portuguese language. I worked with the orphanages over there. They have an all-girl orphanage, about 100 girls that I helped, you know, teach there. And then we started work in some housing, America, government housing, you know, which is farther away from the city. And we started a work over there with some kids. And it was really good. And for a while, it was tough as it went. You know, at the beginning, it starts as new, and then they kind of fade away. And I think it was my fault, as I didn't know how to teach kids. I had the burden for teaching the kids, but I didn't know how to reach them. I didn't know how to speak at their level. So this is when I went to São Paulo in the mountains, and we were over there 3 months with extensive study, you know, about this is CEF leadership course, and they would teach us, you know, what age groups to set apart and what materials to teach, how to teach them, and we need to kind of captivate their interest when you're dealing with the kids of the world, they are not as attentive as a Christian child that's been raised in a Christian home. So you need to kind of know how to captivate his interest. And so after that, when I was there in São Paulo, I went ahead and asked the Lord I felt that the Lord was leading me out of Porto Vieira, where I was. There were so many churches and I felt that there was enough workers. I wanted to go up where a place that didn't have the word. I wanted to go to where I could teach kids that didn't have this thing that I was teaching to them. And so I felt that that's what God wanted me to go, is away from there. That was my burden. I didn't want to just go where there were several churches. That wasn't what I wanted. I wanted to go where they didn't have it. But so that meant that I had to go alone. That meant that I had to get out of there and go alone. And that was kind of scary. That was scary. But a lot of us do a lot of stuff when we're scared, when we're panicked. You know, we do a lot of things and we come out ahead. And I really don't know. And I just praise the Holy Spirit for that. I praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit that's in me. But and I think this is true because you talk about Vietnam and the people that say, how do you do this? And I said, I don't know. I just panic and I did it. So I don't know. I guess it's true. When you panic, you do things. So I said, okay, Lord, you know, I'm going to go. And I prayed since it was almost the end of the school year for the kids over there in Brazil. So, and I wanted to go to see them and be with them. So I asked the Lord, you know, I was going to go to Vianópolis, and there was a city next to it. There was Anápolis, and I asked it if that was the place, you know, if he wanted me out further into the interior of Brazil, to the north part of Brazil, where there's not too many churches, to reveal it to me to reveal it to me, if that was where he wanted me to be. Like, and I said, okay, I'm going to go to Anápolis and use that as a substation, in other words. So I went to see the kids, and then I prayed for a home in Anápolis, and the house was available to me by the MEF. This is the Mission Aviation Fellowship. This is the people that fly airplanes and cater to the missionaries that are in the jungle, and they have their headquarters there. So I talked to one of the ladies there, and they had a house. So I felt sure, and I had no doubt that that's where God wanted me to be. And I think that God has to work with me slowly, because I am a part that I walk slowly because I'm afraid I don't know what I'm going to do next. So I feel that this is it. Now, when I go back, I don't want to go back to Anápolis. Now, Anápolis, I worked as in an orphanage also, and that's beautiful work. I really enjoy working with the orphanage. But right next to it is a seminary, which I was helping teach, because trying to get started in a little city and being a female in South America is just, you know, not very good. They just don't help you in getting started anything. So you kind of have to go slowly. You got to know people and help them out in one way so they can see that you really are trying to do something for the Lord. And so I taught at the seminary, and I set up the Sunday school department for the orphanage, and I taught it also. And we had neighborhood clubs around the city. And those were very interesting and gratifying. I wanted to mention this right now. One of them that I didn't want to kind of terminate was one that we were having about 30 to 40 kids in the neighborhood. And I just got a letter about a week ago from MEF missionary that was helping one of the wives that was helping this Brazilian girl that I left over there working. I think I showed her in the slides. She just quit without giving any explanation to the lady. So she told me that she had gone to talk. She didn't know, but she had to have her baby, and then she was going to go back to help her. But when she went back, the club was terminated. And she talked to the lady. She says, I don't know. She just never came back. The Brazilian missionary didn't come back. So we don't have a good news club over there. But that's another city that has a lot of churches too. Now, so I don't know where I'm going to be going when I get back. I know I'll be going to where the school is. I want to be able to catch up a little bit on the Portuguese and then set out. And I need to do it before the 31st, because that's when the New Tribes Mission conference ends, right before classes start. And then they'll be going back into the jungles. Well, see, I like to go back with some of them. And none of them live in the jungles, because some of them, the Indians do not let them, the FUNAI, this is an organization for the Indians to protect the Indians, do not let them live there, but they have to live outside. But their work is with the Indians. So I want to see that area. I want to see that area further into the interior and see where the Lord is. So I pray, I ask you to pray for me, because it's very difficult to do it alone. You know, you're limited. You're scared. You have flat tires. There's so many car problems, you know. I'm pretty daring, you know, and I can go head on and do something. Brother Kincaid knows me well enough. I kind of slow down, because you do hit yourself on the head all the time. You know, you fall down, because you can't be too impulsive. You gotta be careful. But, you know, I at the beginning I didn't really want to go back with by myself, but after studying the Word and getting back into being fed the Word, and when this verse says, you know, God is with you, He's never going to leave me, and if He wants me to continue the work alone, then I will do it. You know, but you know, it does help even if it's another girl, because two heads, you know, together, you know, it's better than one. You know, at least we can figure out how to make it, how to fix it, flat tire or something.
What are some of the problems that you face as a mother with children down there and their education?
Well, the problem that I have is I don't like to be away from my boys. I don't think that God intended it to be that way. I feel that it's my responsibility to teach my children and to raise them. But I can't do that correspondence work. If I do the work of correspondence, it's a full-time job. I think Nelda told me that it's a very difficult that I face over there at this time now. And I just don't know which way to see that. So I would take any advice as far as that. If I am wrong in doing that, I would listen. I would listen to any suggestions that you might have, of course. But I just don't know really what about that. I feel that the burden for the work of the children and the work of the Lord. Yet I think that the Lord had answered my prayers by having that school close by, where they are being taken care of by Christian parents. Everybody's like a big family. The kids are in a normal environment, as to where ours is not a normal environment. You know, as when you're lacking a partner and being boys, they need to know, how it is to be raised in a normal environment. And so they are getting that at the school. So I praise the Lord for that. I don't think that I really am. I listen to any suggestions, believe me, but I don't feel yet convicted as far that I am doing something that is not right.
How long have your boys gone into school?
Now the kids go to school in July all the way to the end of November. On the 7th of December, they have the whole month off. And so they get to be with me for the whole month. Now the missionaries that come from the jungle, they stay in the school for the whole month because it's difficult to take the kids back in the jungle and then bring them back to school. If you're not too far from that place, they'll take you. Usually they do, don't they, Kenny? And then they go back on the 7th of January and they stay till May.
So out of a year, how many months do you actually get to be with the
kids? I get to see them in December, all month of December, and then I get to see them for the summer months, which is, they get out in April, May, June, July. So out of the whole year, I only get to be with them 4 months. And then when I was in Annapolis, which made me closer to them, I would get to see them every three weeks. They would come home for a weekend. So that was good. But I don't know where I'm going to be. You know, for the first month or 2 months, I'll be close to them because I want to take this catch up on the language a little bit. There's a lot of Brazilian friends that tell me that I don't need it. There's a lot of American missionaries telling me that I do need it. So I think that the Brazilians are being nice. They tell me that, they're being nice. They tell me that my problem is the grammar, which is in writing. And I need to do that because I do all of my visual work. I buy some, but most of it I print it all up myself. So therefore, you know, it's I need to have like verses. You write them up. You know, songs, you write them up if you want to teach them. So you need that too. So I don't know what to believe. I thought I'd just go ahead for the first month or 2 months and take that refresher course. And there's a Brazilian teacher, a widow also, Brazilian. That she hasn't found a partner either, so the new tribes won't send her off by herself. So she's got to stay at the school and she works there at the school as a teacher, as a secretary, and things like that. And she's going to teach Portuguese to the missionaries that are coming in. And I'll be taking lessons from her, I hope.
We hear a lot about, and we've got a lot of inflation here, but Brazil has a tremendous inflation, like 100% a year. What does that mean when you go to the store, Sylvia?
Listen, you can't... It's just terrible. I found in the paper today, and not today, but a month ago, that the gasoline over there is $3. I was already paying $2 and something before I left. It's $3.08 a gallon. You know, and you need the car to go anywhere, especially if you have little cities to go to, outside to work in. And, it's just very expensive. I couldn't tell you. Even the kids' monthly payments for their school has gone up tremendously. So I'm paying maybe around, it should be about $200 per each kid. Now I was paying, what was it, 178? I don't know if I mentioned that, 178. And that took care of, because I want to mention to some of you that don't know me, I am a widow and I have VA and Social Security checks that come in. And for the kids, the money that I would get from the kids, it would go straight to the school. That would to pay up their school. I'd have to worry about their clothes because it just didn't meet. Now it's going to go up. That would be the second problem to the children's education. It's going to go up. So that means that out of the money that I get would have to go to for their clothing. So there's a lot of, expense into teaching the Word of God, especially if you have children. You know,
we know that you'll need more financial support. What is the most important thing to you besides that we can do for you here while you're there?
Continue praying for me. One of the things that the missionary does, or what I face a lot, don't stop writing. Every day I'd go to that post office and I did not find a letter from home. Anything that you, just write a letter saying, how United States, I mean, we like to hear not only about how you are, but it's surprising how you want to know about the country. When I was here, it didn't really matter too much. I think it was because it was there. I would hear it from all over. But you're over there, you want to know how the situation is with the country. You're willing to, because when you're over there, you hear nothing but chaos. And knocking the United States down, you know, every which way. And here you are, really, you know, is it really true? You know, you don't hear these things. So do right. A missionary needs a lot of love. I tell you, needs a lot of love. You know, pray for her. Pray for her. Pray that she'd be encouraged. Just knowing that you pray for her, it keeps her going over there. And, send her letters. Write to her. You know, I know it's, I hate to write letters to her. I know how that is, you know. But send a little note, you know. They like to hear letters, you know, because especially like Brazil, you don't get to come home so often. So I want to cry on your shoulder now, you know. So do write. Yeah. Prayer and encouraging letters, knowing that, you know, when you get these letters, you know that they haven't left you. When you don't get any letters, you think, oh, they left me. They're not thinking about me or something. Or, you know, it's silly for us to think that. We know it's not. Because I got a lot of good letters from you here, and I was very encouraged with the letters that I got from you. You all are very good about that. I, you know, appreciate that. So that would be.
You'd like a double or triple.
It would help, you know. It would help to get them tripled, you know.
How about your visas? What did you run across some piles of you got your visas?
When I first got there, it took us. when was it? I got rejected once, but I was told that I could get them, I could reprocess my papers, and I was able to get them done again. And, in that time, I got them approved. So I didn't
get it. Now you're a resident?
Now I'm a resident. I hate to, you know, I would love to go work in Mexico where I know that there's more of the people from this church working together. Laura is going to be out soon, and it would be terrific to work with a group, what you call a team. New tribes have these teams to go out to the jungles, and I think that we should work in teams also. But I just got a letter from a friend, I think you gave it to me, Sam Brennan. I met him over there, and he had to leave the country, and he wrote to me from New Jersey. He's trying to get his papers again because he got rejected. Visas are not being approved. And when you're that far, you know, the country is so big, you know, it takes 2 days just to go across, you know, or maybe more, you know, no, at least 2 days to get across to get your papers, re-signed to get back in, you know. You couldn't do that every 3 months, I think, is you had to renew. So it's very difficult. So like I was saying, I keep thinking, as Lord, you know, I have the visas, you know. If I hate to let them go to waste, you know, by not going back over there where I know that they also need the work. But I gave the Lord the time left, and I've been praying. I'm very open about it, you know, as far as where He leads me, because I can work anywhere. Doesn't matter. If it's here, then I'll start the work even more intense, because I'm not really doing as intense as I should. As I want to spend some time with my boys. And so I really am not doing much work. Then my back was giving me a lot of problems, but I'm fine as far as that. He said to get off high heels, so I'm not in high heels any longer. I'm wearing flat, so I haven't suffered any pain. I praise the Lord for that. Yes. And they told me... So, and then they advised me to, if I work on my... I work on the kitchen table. So they said to go ahead and get a table that would lift up a little bit so that I can work in this angle instead of bending over. So, that's going to help. I'll be doing that. But like I said, I haven't done anything like that until the last minute. I think that the Lord usually waits to the very last minute. That's another thing too I wanted to tell you. Missions is not really at all that bad. It's intrigued. It's an adventure. And it's mysterious. You never know what's going to happen next. And it's not really like, oh, it's terrible, you know. No. Oh, there are things you have to get used to. The environment, the climate, the comfort is not as good as that, as good what we have here. But, once you get used to it, that's no problem. I was being poor, so I didn't take me long to get used to, to go back to the way I had been brought up. So I think after I got married is when I became, I knew the comforts of life and stuff like that. So it's not really hard.
Anybody else have a question for Sylvia?
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Sylvia.